Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the words of God together. You know, we live in a world where there's so much evil. They had several shootings that took place. All of it seems so senseless. If you look at the news, there's something going on all around the world. And God told us that there would be days like this. It will become a time when men will be lovers of themselves. And that's where we are today. But I want you to be encouraged, because God is in control and nothing takes him by surprise. I pray that each and every one of you had a great week. And God is in the blessing business. And I pray that you receive the blessings that you are in need of. Our lesson tonight, the title of the lesson is, This Life is But a Vapor. We come in from 2 Corinthians 4, 4th chapter. Verses 15 through 18. As always, I'm going to play a song, and this song I thought was appropriate for tonight. Excuse caller, someone is calling in on the line. Hold on. Yeah, that was some of the, some of the callers was calling in on the phone saying that they weren't able to get in. It's saying that all circles are busy. But I know I have Minister Mackey, I see that you came through, and Sister Joyce Brown, I see that you came through. But the callers are trying to get through. And since we have an appointed time, I'm going to keep going with the lesson, asking that y'all be prayerful that the other callers could come through. But again, our lesson is, the title of our lesson is, This Life is But a Vapor. And we're coming from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verse. And the record that I'm going to decide to play is called Justified. Because I want you to know that we are justified by God. You know, that should be a reason for us to be able to go on day by day. God is in control, and he's made preparation to hold us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to protect us along the way, day by day. So listen to the song and be prayerful for the studio line, so that the callers who's anxiously trying to get in is able to come in.
Glorify, glorify,
sins had their way. I never would have made it with a debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome power.
that song is letting us know that we are justified, not what we did ourselves, but what God did. And at this time, it's time for us to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic. And there's still evidently some difficulties with the station or either with the phone because the callers are still calling and saying that they can't get through. And even some of the callers that has gotten on the line looks like it's knocking their calls off. But I do see that Jeanette McGee, and as I said earlier, Sister Brown and Minister Mackey, I could see that you guys are on and you're solid. So we're just going to be prayerful that the other people who are trying to get through can get through. We know that God is a way maker. God is in control of the air. And we just going to keep pressing and pray that everything is all right. Sister Elyria Mackey, I see that you press your button. You could come to us any way you would like at this time.
Okay, I'm here.
You could come to us any way you would like at this time.
Okay. God, we just thank you for another Wednesday night that we could come together, Lord God, and just to lift up the name of Jesus, just to magnify and glorify your name, God, because your name is worthy to be praised, oh God. God, you say with all our getting understanding, so we asking that you would open up the eyes of our understanding this afternoon, oh God, that your word would come forth by Minister Diane, oh God, and it would accomplish what it was set forth to do, oh God, that we will be able to grow from what we hear on tonight, Lord God. And I ask that you would allow the callers to get in, oh God, that the circuits would be unbusy, Lord God, because that's what's going on. All the circuits were busy. But I ask that you would clear the lines, oh God, that they would be able to get in the mighty name of Jesus. And we just come reverencing you, Lord God. We come to bless your name, to magnify and glorify your name, because your name is worthy to be praised, oh God. And God, we thank you because your word declares that you would ask that we would prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospered. So we thank you that our soul is prospering through your word, because you said your word will go out and it will not return back void, but it will accomplish everything it was set for it to do. So we just come to break bread tonight, Lord, to get closer, a closer walk with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we pray for those that are on the prayer list, oh God. We lift up those that have lost loved ones this week, oh God, because we know that you can bind up broken hearts. We know that you can give peace that passes all understanding, God, and we just lift up those young folks, oh God, our young people, oh God, that you would begin to consume their minds, oh God, and that the elders would teach the younger ones how to be good keepers, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give your name the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Minister Mackey. And we're going to just continue to be prayerful. Well, all I know is God is in control. Well, we're going to do a little background tonight. Again, I'm going to say that the title of our lesson is This Light is But a Vapor. We're coming from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verse. And Sister Minister Mackey, oh, that's all right. Your mic was open, but it finally closed. I was just giving you a heads up. But we come in from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 15 through the 18th verse. I did a little background tonight and on the book of Corinthians, the Corinthian church, or the Corinthians people. You see, the books of Corinthians, book 1 and 2, was written by the Apostle Paul, who founded the church in Corinth. Excuse, the city was Corinth. The people living there were the Corinthians. Hallelujah, the lines is opening up, you guys. So the Corinthians was the people who lived in Corinth. Remember, God used Paul to bring the message to the Gentiles. You know, God had chose the Jews to be his chosen people, and he was loving them in hopes that they would love him. But the Jews was doing their own things and doing it their own ways, and God decided to let the Gentiles in. Oh, thank God for that, because you know if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. You see, Paul was not a follower of Christ. He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah or one day would be our Savior. Paul believed in Judaism and persecuted the Christians and thought that was what God wanted him to do. That's when you see a lot of these terrorists out here today, when they blow up a building and blow themselves up, they think they're helping God, and they call themselves doing it in the name of God, and as if God needs them to do something like that. But you see, Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, and he explained the gospel to him, and Paul believed. God then turned his life around, and Paul was never the same. You see, after the day of Pentecost, many churches was founded. Paul found this church in Corinth. He founded the church, and after the church was organized, he left. But a few years later, after leaving the church, Paul heard some disturbing reports about the Corinthian church. They were full of pride, and they were excusing sexual immorality. You think some of the churches are doing that today? You see, the spiritual gift that God had given to them to be used for the body of Christ, the household of faith, were being used improper. And there was a rampant, hallelujah, misunderstanding of the key Christian doctrine. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote the first letter to the Corinthians in an attempt to restore the Corinthians church to its foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Paul had heard that the Corinthians believers had divided into groups and was holding up various leaders as being superior to others. Sound like the church today? And y'all know how long ago this was written? We know that it was written over, you know, well, possibly 2,000 years. And it's amazing that the same thing is happening. You see, there were those who followed Paul, who had founded the church. There were people in the congregation who wanted to follow Apollos because he talked with such eloquence. And some thought that Peter was the best, perhaps because he had been with Jesus. And perhaps the worst of all were the self-righteous. They were those who claimed they were superior because they followed Christ or were servants of Christ. This group really had a spirit of entitlement. You see, in the first letter, Paul let them know, you know, about what they felt about the division and how they was sticking some to Apollos, some to Peter, and some to Paul. Paul wrote in Corinthians 3 and 6, he said, look, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It was Paul's work given to him to plant the seeds in the kingdom. And it was the work of Apollo to afterward water or cultivate the Christian's plant, which had come forth. But God gave the growth. He gave the seed its velocity and the plant its life. This lets us know that there is one body with many members, and each has been given different assignments by God, and each assignment is necessary. You have to always remember that what God has for you is for you to do. There were many problems in the church in Corinth, and Paul addressed all of them. You see, in 1 Corinthians, he had also used a verse that stated, he told them, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you. And then he asked them, are you not worldly with all of this going on? Are you acting like men, mere men? Some of those who haven't even accepted Christ and been saved, and yet the way you act is just like them. You see, that was some of the things he addressed in 1 Corinthians. But tonight we will expound on 2 Corinthians. And when we look at 2 Corinthians, if you had previously studied or read 1 Corinthians, you would know that the problem with worldliness, division, doctrine, defection continue to fester in spite of Paul's efforts in the first epistle. In this letter, he expresses joy at the good news of their progress. Even though slow, little change in some areas, but now some of them who heard, believed, understand, and became solid. I'm often asked, how long should we continue to share and even care and encourage those who just seem to want to remain in the state that they are in? You're talking and talking and talking to someone, and it's like the head made out of wood. It's just not penetrating. But you see, Paul wrote the first letter. And when he heard the news that there were problems, he went back again and he wrote another letter. You see, Paul understood that our Christian walk and life events, and everyone doesn't get it at the same time. And somewhere in Paul's writing, he said, he pressed. We have to keep pressing and doing what God asks us to do. Don't get discouraged because you don't see maybe any change in a person's life. But if they got two ears and nothing is mentally wrong with them, they heard you. It is not your job to get them saved. It's not your job to get them from make them come from point A to point B. Your job is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Pray for one another, encourage for one another, and then keep it moving. So that's to understand the scripture we're going into. It's good to have some background on the Corinthians and the church and what they were doing and what they should have been doing and what caused Paul to write the letter in the first place. So when we got that out the way, we're going to look at this scripture in verse 15 says, for all things are for your sake. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about everything that is being done to help them get to a better place in Christ Jesus, to understand the truth. And to change their ways, to embrace the newness that God had given them when he allowed them to be born again. They became new creatures, but they kept acting like the old creature. Do you see any of that going on today? But he said, all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, rebound to the glory of God. What's Paul saying? You see, everything that God has given, all that he's given right now, and all that God has promised to give is for our sake. God does not need anything or anybody. God is complete. He's full. God is in control with all power. Everything belongs to God. But if we look at the 66 books of the Bible and read it, everything in there is for you. Because that's how much God loves you, that you may become complete and full and in the knowledge and the fullness and receive all that God has for you. It's for you. It's for our sake. God created everything for his glory and has provided all provisions necessary for us to accomplish his will. God created us for his glory. He chose the Israelites so that they could be his people and he could be their God and they could love on him, which would give him glory and all of the other nations that see it can give thanks to such a mighty God. You see, that's his intent. That was his intention, and that's his purpose that he did it, and that's his will. You see, when we think about what God has done and put in place for us to be able to go and share the word and be confident in what we say, God sent his son who died and resurrected so that we can be made the righteousness of God. You know, if you look in 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, we needed to be redeemed. You know, we needed to be able to have a personal relationship with God because sin had severed those ties. But there was nothing that we could do to become righteous enough on our own to be able to go before such a holy God. So with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and we accept Christ, God extended his righteousness towards us that we could come before God. Hallelujah. You see, with his death, we receive what the scripture is talking about, that abundant grace. You see, God has given us his word. He sent us pastors, preachers, teachers, ministers, TV evangelist, and he has given you enough word to be able to share with somebody. See, what he wants you to share is not the way he wants me to share. Didn't he say that Apollo watered, Paul planted? God said he's going to give the increase. I'm only giving information, but it's the Holy Ghost that's going to give the illumination and revelation. Hallelujah. Do what you do. If you can't even tell a person one single thing like God is good and God is good all the time, something's not right. You could say this is the day that God has made. So let us rejoice. You see, the scripture say all these things that I just spoke of are for your sake, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, by giving the word of God to many, would rebound, come back in the form of glory to God. Hallelujah. That's our job. You know, he wants his grace to be spread to more and more people that will cause the giving of thanks to abound to his account, well, to his glory. Hallelujah. So with that being said, with us knowing that all of us have something to do, and don't look at others the way they do it, God is not going to ask you to perform in a way that he hasn't already given you the provisions to achieve it, because that would be like setting you up to fail. You have plenty of children. Well, some people have children, more than one. And you know what you could get out of this child. You know the abilities of that child. If we are children of God, God is looking at us the same way. So God is not asking none of us to do what we can't do. We just have to do what he's asking us to do with the faith that he's going to be with us when we do it. And we have to remember, all glory and honor belongs to God. And he demands it. And besides that, he deserves it. And if we look at verse 16, and I want to let y'all know, when Minister Mackey prays on more than one occasion, I have heard her use this scripture in a prayer. And you know how they say when you go to church, you're supposed to take the lesson that the pastor is teaching. Do you go home and you meditate, or do you revisit it, or do you, you know, think about it or anything? But by me hearing her say this scripture more than once, it caught my interest, and I began to look at it and study it. And tonight I decided to use it. But the scripture says in 16, 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, you see, I got that from listening to Minister Mackey's prayer. And I went and I looked it up and I studied it. And I thought it was fitting to bring to you guys on tonight. So, again, the scripture says, for what cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So after seeing this, we have to first get something out of the way. When it's talking about our outward man, that's our physical. Our inward man, that's our spiritual. So it's saying that the outward man is going to perish. You see, everyone that is born has to die. It ain't no guessing in that game. You see, when sin entered the world, the penalty of sin was death. We died spiritually the moment it entered, and we must die physical. You see, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection healed those who accepted him spiritually. So if you accepted Christ, your spirit has been awakened, and it's intact. We are healed spiritually. Okay, because Isaiah 53:5 states, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Look at that, y'all. It says, by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. It didn't say we might be, or we could be, or we should be, but it says we are healed. And a lot of people use this as a healing scripture for people when they're going to pray for the sick. And you got to take the scripture for what it's saying, and then you realize with common sense what all God can do. Because this scripture was talking about healing us spiritually. That's why it's saying we are healed once we accept Christ. But when people use it for healing, we all know that Jesus was a healer. We know that God can heal anybody he wants, when he wants, how he wants, because he wants, because he is God. But you have to realize the scripture was talking about a spiritual healing. We accept Christ, we spiritually heal. But our physical body, as the scriptures say, our outward man is perishing. Now, so can God heal physically? Yes. Does he heal everybody physically? No, not on this side. All healing will not happen. Physical healing will not happen on this side. Now watch this. He healed us spiritually. Do he heal everybody spiritually? Yes. Everyone who accepts Christ as their Savior. Can he heal physically? Yes. Does he heal everybody physically? Not out on this side. And I'm saying that because there's a lot of danger. I have met a lot of people on their sick beds, terminally ill, and they're so hard trodden. They're so depressed. They're in fear because they were taught that this scripture say if you pray and have enough faith, you will be healed. So they trying to muster up all the faith they could get, and they praying as much as they could, and they trying to be the best person that they could be, and they not healed. So it makes them feel like they're a failure. Jesus healed a lot of people, but even in that time, he didn't heal all the people. And he even said the reason that he was healing some of the people was to show the glory and the power of God. You know, how he picked this one and then picked that. It was all a part of the master plan. But everyone who accepts Christ is spiritually healed. And when Jesus comes back for us, from those that are in the grave or those that are still up, and we be taken up, we will be healed. That's why they say no more sickness, no more crying. So God is going to take care of you. You see, while the penalty for sin of Christians, they have been paid in full, they've been removed once and for all, and yet your sin penalty, your sin sickness is healed. But you see, while the penalty for sin of Christians has been paid in full and removed, the Lord has not yet removed the presence and effect of sin. And y'all gonna know what I'm talking about when I say this, which are the consequences of sin. You see, Jesus took away the sin. And yes, we were spiritually healed, but sin has consequences, and the consequences of those sins and the presence and the effect of those sins are still here. Creation is grown and waiting for the adoptions of God's children, which will be experienced when our bodies are raised from the grave or we taken up with Jesus, which is called the rapture. But I want you to understand the full benefits of Christ's work will not be consummated until he returned to bring the new heavens and the new earth, which is explained in Revelation 21. You see, we will suffer. Listen up. We will suffer the result of sin until then. But we have the victory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But we're going to suffer the penalties of sin till then. But till then, and some people think then is so far off. But I come to tell you tonight, this life is but a vapor. It's but a vapor. But we should be glad that God did not wrap up his plan 2,000 years ago. You see, if he had did so, we would have never experienced his glorious grace. You see, once Jesus completed his earthly ministry and became our Savior, he went back to be with the Father, but he left his Holy Spirit, who took up residence in us to help us to be, as the scripture said, renewed day by day. You might ask, how are we renewed day by day? Well, I could give you some instructions from the Holy Bible, from the Word of God. You see, if you take Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And watch this, what it says, which is your reasonable service. That's only reasonable for what all God is doing and all what Jesus has done, and the Holy Ghost living inside of you. This is your reasonable service. If you do your reasonable service, you will be renewed day by day. And then the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do you renew yourself daily? You have to renew your mind. The mind is a terrible thing. Your mind is either talking you into something that is either talking you into doing something, or it's talking you out of doing something. And remember, your mind is where Satan gets to play. They said, because if you're going to renew your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then if that's not enough to help you to renew, I brought you something from the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 20th through the 23rd verse. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. You've been saved. Do you know him? If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You know, it'd be so sad when I see somebody that's saved, supposed to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and they get into a conflict with somebody, you know, and they start snapping their fingers and popping their head back, and they say they don't know who they're messing with. You know, because I could show them a thing or two. They're talking about inviting that old nature back in their presence that God has helped and worked and labored to get you to the newness. Why would you want to go dig up that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust? But be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Keep the new man in front. The things that establish the new man, they're things that's going to keep that new man in you. That new man which after Christ is recreated in righteousness and true holiness. So I want to let you know how to keep your mind renewed as this outer man perish. Is the things that I said, and I want you to know it's a mind thing. Your mind is either talking you into doing something or talking you into not doing something. And plenty of times it'd be talking you out of doing the things of God. And it tells you silliness that say, oh, this is not necessary. I don't need to go to church. Church don't save you. I don't have to pray. And if I done already told God, I don't have to tell him again. Your mind play tricks on you. So to make it simple, for us to renew our inward man day by day, start with your mind. And if we look at the last two verses, it says, for our light afflictions, which but for a moment worketh for us a more excellent and eternal weight in glory. It says, our afflictions, and they call them light, which are but for a moment, worketh for us far more excellence and an eternal weight of glory. And then 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to know that this scripture, the scripture above told us to not faint. That's how we started off. It said, not faint. Don't faint when the changes of our physical state happen, but embrace the renewing of our mind day by day. Because what we could do, we could grow in the abundance great. That's how you start, you know, you didn't trust God 10 years ago like you, hallelujah, like you trust him now. You didn't believe God maybe 10 years ago, how you believe now, but you kept renewing day by day, and it strengthens you, hallelujah. It builds you up. It turns you around. It places your foot on solid ground. Renewing day by day. Hallelujah. You see, our light affliction, and I call it light tonight because it can't compare to the suffering that Jesus Christ experienced on our behalf. And I could say light compared to Jesus, and that is only a moment, because the book of James 4:14 teaches that whereas we know not what be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanish away. And that's so true. And I want you to know tonight that we are living in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. You see, our afflictions, light or heavy, may cause us pain. But it is often said, no pain, no gain. But I want to let you know tonight that those same afflictions allow you to see the salvation of the Lord. You see, with them, you become more mature. They increase your faith. They reveal the truth to you. You get illumination and revelation as the Holy Ghost walks you through them. And sometimes it may only be a test. You see, how could you experience the joy of the Lord, understanding the good times, if there were no bad times? And you have to remember, God created good and evil. If you only set your sights on the things which can be seen, and that's mostly world things, materialistic things, pride, like the movie star wants recognition, you know, that's the things you can see. You know, it could cause you to get in the trap of greed. You got some money, you want more money. How much is enough? And when is what you have enough? That's looking and seeing and grafting. It'll probably make you covet, have a spirit of covetousness, keeping up with the Joneses. Things you can see. But I want you to know that anything that you can see is temporal. There's a book in the Revelation that says that all of this is gonna burn away with a fervent heat. The land, the trees, the houses, the buildings, everything. It's gonna burn up. It's temporal. And if that's all you concern with, it's going to almost be like when you do die, your living will be in vain. But if you allow the Spirit of God to work in you and do those things that can't see, Jesus used a teaching. He said, when I was hungry, you fed me not. See, that's the things of God. He said, when I was outdoors, you didn't take me in. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. But you see, when we only dealing with things we can see, we don't have time for the things we can't see, because that mind that I told you about is filled with your desires. It wants you. It only has your want appetite, not what you need to do for God. And everything is temporal. So don't let your living be in vain. Renew every day. This is not a destination. You know more today than you know years ago. And you never be finished. It's not a marathon when you finish. It's an ongoing. We can learn something new every day in the Word of God that will help renew us day by day, realizing that we all must die and that outer man is being decayed and is apart from sin, because the penalty for sin was death, spiritual, physical. Jesus took care of spiritual, which was the most important, but the effects of those sins is still happening to the physical. Glory be to God. So I want you to set your sight on the things of God, those things that are unseen. Walk in faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Because those are the things that's eternal. And I encourage you tonight, never give up. Never stop trying, no matter what is going on in your life. Always look to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you got to keep in mind when you decide what to do and what not to do. There's so many people that accepted Christ as their Savior and they've been saved, but they still act the same way as the day when they got saved. Like they never asked themselves the questions, I'm saved, now what? But we have to continue to allow our inward man to be renewed day by day. Take our lickings, keep ticking. Keep searching for the things of God. Keep praying that God helps us to be better today than we were yesterday, and even better tomorrow than we were today. Because only those things for Christ, only those things for Christ will last. And just remember, this life is but a vapor. It's short in comparison to eternal. See, God is concerned about your eternal life, and man in its state is more concerned about its present life. And this life is so short compared to what God has in store for us. He said, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. It can't even enter into your heart what God has in store for you. So let's get balance in our lives. God allowed us to live here on earth because he wanted to see what we was going to be working with. We're in the land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living. Your eternity is already locked in. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. So what is your obligation? What is your reasonable service to be a good citizen in a kingdom? To let your light so shine that men may see the works and glorify the Father. And for us to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And the Bible said if we do that, we will have taken care of all the law and all the prophets. That's our lesson for tonight. I thank you, dear God. I thank you that the lines open up and other callers got in. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for the word that you have given me to go before your people with. It's not about me. I'm only giving information. I'm only an earthly vessel made with clay. If you read the whole chapter, you saw that in it too. I love you guys. I thank God for this opportunity. And if anybody would like to say anything at this time, you could press the one button. If anyone would like to pray, if anyone would like to sing, if anyone would like to do anything. And I need to tell you guys, is that next Wednesday? Or that's Wednesday after next? No. The week of Christmas, we're going to have to decide if we're going to, I probably would prefer to do it on the 26th because people be cooking their Christmas dinners on Christmas Eve. So y'all start keeping that in mind, which I will send out posters. I mean, the posting, but not next week, but the week after that is Christmas, and of course the week after that is New Year's. So we'll probably switch those 2 weeks to Thursdays if it's all right with everybody. So if anybody would like to lead us out in prayer or have anything to say, you can definitely press the one button on your phone. And if no one would like to pray, I'm going to ask Sister Pam, our prayer warrior who takes care of our prayer list, would she lead us out in prayer tonight? Sister Pam? Sister Pam?
Before Congress, he has even vowed to fight all the subpoenas, desperately attempting to keep Americans in the dark. He's even engaged in...
Hello?
But what is...
Yes, Sister Pam?
Yes, can you hear me?
It's the other tragedy.
Yes, I can.
Tragedy of enablers,
okay,
who choose to...
Because I need a television or something.
Turn blind eyes and explain this wrong.
That's not your television?
They tell us to ignore...
No.
What...
Oh, I know
that's
what that
not
was.
Me.
There you go. All right, go ahead.
Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Lord, we just thank you tonight for another beautiful and wonderful lesson from our beloved sister and minister, Diane. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be amongst the living tonight. Lord, we ask for your prayers tonight for each and every person that's listening, that you pray for us, watch over us, cover us with your precious blood. Lord Jesus, so much is going on in our world and our city. We need you, Lord, now more now than we ever did before. We just ask you, just keep us covered in your blood. Watch over each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God.
I want to thank you so much, Mr. Pam, for accepting the call that was given to you. And if anyone else would like to pray, you can press the button. I'll open your mic. If not, that's our show for tonight. And I want to thank you, Minister Minister Mackey, because you have prayed that verse in your prayers that I have heard, that it connected with my spirit, and the Holy Ghost allowed me to do a lesson on tonight. And you see, that scripture was saying all of this is for our benefit. When she prayed, it's for our benefit. And when she prayed the prayer that she prayed, it took root with me. And now I'm producing for the expound on it tonight with you guys. And that's the effect that God wants for his word. You know, we say, Holy Spirit, please don't let your word return void. Sister Mackie knows that her prayer did not return void, because I'm expressing it at this time. But I just want to thank each and everybody for coming. I pray that everyone who wanted to get in got in. If they didn't get in, they could listen at the program on the computer at Blog Talk. But I just want y'all to know that I love you. I pray that everybody is in a Christ holiday spirit. And I want y'all to remember, keep Christ in your Christmas. You know, when the world says stuff like season greetings, they just don't want to acknowledge Christ. They, you know, and some of them could be Christians that's doing it, compromising their faith so they don't offend somebody. But no matter what nobody say, Jesus is the reason for the season. And ever since there was Jesus, he's always was the reason for the season, and he always will be. So keep Christ in your Christmas. Love on your family. Forgive somebody you need to forgive. Trust somebody you haven't been able to trust. Give to someone that you would have never thought you would give anything to. Encourage someone that may need it. Y'all know this tough time for people. They lose their loved ones and they get melancholy around this time or, you know, whatever events in their life happen. But we have to be there for one another in season and out of season. That's it for tonight. And I pray that each and every one of you be blessed. God loves you and so do I. And I pray that God be with us until we meet again. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God.